The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. It is National Letter of Intent Day. It is a big day for what we do here at Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric. Pro, college, high school, things going on in our great state. No particular order, but we do have a passion for what happens on the high school level and them going on to college. So today on Letter of Intent Day, there have already been a couple of announcements. There are two main players that are left. One of them is a wide receiver, Solomon Enos, you'll be hearing about. He is at North Canyon High School. Jordan Hamm from our staff and Haley Stasiak from our staff are both over at North Canyon High School. Brock Purdy is the other player that has yet to announce where he is going. I'll give a full disclosure on that here in a second because I do know where he's going and I've already taped something with him on it. So we'll have that here in a moment too. On today's show, we'll have Jason Jewell coming up at about 10:35. We will carry Brock's announcement live from Perry High School. In fact, we have some of that right now. We could just show everybody that it's up there and that stick around, that it's coming, and that we have the announcement at Perry High School.
And now they represent our community.
I hear it.
I would, without hesitating, I wouldn't have a problem with any of these boys putting a Perry shirt on and going down to a school, going to a business, doing anything, because they represent you guys here in this room. They represent that Perry logo.
Okay, so that's Preston Jones, the head coach there at Perry, and he is talking right now. There's five other players, I do believe, and Brock is going to speak last of the five and make his announcement. First, let me just say that right off the top on this show and every show, our opening comments and commentary, thoughts, what's on my mind of the world of sports is brought to you by Sagicore Now. Sagicore Now. Guys, you need to protect what matters most, your family. Have you checked into your life insurance? Do you have life insurance? All you have to do is log on to SagicoreNow.com and get a free quote. Take care of what matters most to you. Don't put it off, okay? I have no script on this. Just do it. Go. It's easy. Log on, SagicoreNow.com. Appreciate their support on this. So I'm going to go back on Brock Purdy here for a minute. I have not seen a story in the last, I don't know, several years, maybe even ever on the recruiting trail that has gone as crazy and as wild as this one. And as it was unfolding, and it started unfolding last year, I got a phone call a year ago from someone at Perry High School saying, why is Brock Purdy not getting a whole lot of attention? And in our space with Eric and I, we see guys all the time that go out and they play and they look good and so on and so forth. And I just said, well, you know, it's early, just his junior year. And this was nothing from the family. This was some people, coaches at Perry. And so that came and went. And then late spring, he had mono, Brock did. Kind of went off the radar screen. His season started. He played pretty well. Then he just started to kill it as the season progressed. And by the time that I met him in person for the very first time, I'd seen him play, and I was totally enthralled with him. I couldn't believe that Arizona State didn't offer him. I couldn't believe that U of A didn't offer him. Couldn't believe it. I met him at the National Football Foundation luncheon on early December. I don't remember the day. It was like the 10th. And he came up to me afterwards, and I just said, hey, keep your head up. And you could tell he was a little bit down. His recruitment was, this is no disrespect to the schools that were recruiting him, but they were not even division, they were FCS schools. And it was milk and cookies at the Purdy's house. And the dad was very normal. I come across crazy dads all the time when it comes to recruiting. And I told the dad, I said, I'd like to talk to you sometime. So he called me, and within about, I don't know, a minute into the conversation, he said, is there a community college that you think that we should be looking at? This was not even 2 months ago, guys, or just about 2 months ago. So they were very humble, and they were very, very normal, rather than most times I get crazy dad. I do. Or crazy unrealistic parents or guardian or whatever it is. They're just completely unrealistic. Not in this kid's case. And then the Doherty Award came, and Brock won the Doherty Award. And that's like the Heisman Trophy here in Arizona. And I told our staff at the time, I said, you know, we should be doing something on this. This is a really interesting story. Here's a kid that has set all these passing records. His team goes all the way to the championship game, so on and so forth. And nobody's recruiting him because supposedly he's too short. And then I have Pac-12 recruiting coordinator saying, yeah, he's Kurt Warner. He's Drew Brees. Two of them told me that. But still nothing. And finally, Boise State jumped in and made him an offer right before Christmas. And Boise State led to Iowa State, and Iowa State led to Nick Saban, and Nick Saban led to Central Florida and Josh Heupel, a team that had a perfect season. And that led to Texas A&M, and that led to Arizona. And so in a span of 7 weeks, because recruiting is something that everybody gets into if their kid is playing or if you're an alum, you just do. Who are we getting? Who is the player that we're getting? And so as we went through this, I started writing about it. I started talking about it on the show. I started talking about it on social media. I met with the young man and wanted to get to know him and try to figure out why wasn't this working. Eric, is it fair to say that I overdid at times this story? Like, were you done with this more than once?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was.
And you and I...
But it is an enthralling story, and it is a unique story. And it is one that we may see again, and we may never see again.
We may never see this one again. And so when I told you yesterday where he's going, we both know where he's going. He sat down, and we had him do something for the site yesterday. So I know where he's going. Eric knows where he's going. We're not going to say where he's going. That's not our right. That's not what we're about.
It's down to two schools. We do know
that.
Yeah,
it's Texas A&M or Iowa State. That's where it is. And he's going to make the announcement here in the next few minutes. And when you go back and look at his journey, you want to use it as a case study for the parents first and foremost. I may sound like I'm bagging on parents. I've just done this for 30 years. And most of the time, the parents are the ones that get in the way and screw it up. They're the ones that are telling the kid where to go. They're the ones that are saying, oh my gosh, you have Nick Saban wanting you to come to Alabama. They just won the national championship. Why wouldn't you want to go there? And this kid called Alabama last week and said, I'm not coming. The New York Times published a story today on Brock Purdy. So this is a national deal. So I'm giving you the backstory on this. We're going to have something up on the site later today. It's about 8 minutes long. It's really long, but it's his words as to why and how he went through this journey. You're going to hear some of that, I'm sure, when he has his speech. I had dinner with him last night, and he was going over the things he wanted to talk about. I believe in mentoring. Yeah, I have a journalism side to me, too. I did not once ask the kid, so where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? I've not once, even though I've talked to several coaches saying, hey, what do you think? Where is he going? It's not my place. It's not my place. So as I've gone through this journey, and when we put out this tape, we're going to have a 2-minute version of it after Brock is done, after Jason Jewell is with us. I think it will connect dots. If you're into sports and storytelling at all, this is one that is in your own backyard. This is what I'm all about, which is community. I can do Cardinal backup left tackles every other day. Today, I'm not doing that. I may talk about the quarterback thing a little bit. So that's the backstory to this. Solomon Enos is meeting with Jordan Hamm, and we'll talk to Jordan before he does his event. So both of those are going to be happening here on the site today. And Eric is going to go to Arizona State. And he will be there with Herm Edwards. U of A is not doing anything today, so we will not be with Kevin Sumlin. There'll be stories up on the site today with Northern Arizona, Arizona Christian, and Ottawa University as well. So some of the other things going on. Actually, let's just check back in there for a second. Are they getting close in? Let's just go ahead and just bring that back up there, Jared. Let's just check it in.
Even when I was slacking off, that I was better than that, and that it wasn't.
So there's a few more players. So let's take a quick break here.
Me to slack off, so.
And we will be back with more after this timeout on a very fluid. Actually, I like these Wednesday shows. Got some other things I'll get to, but back after these messages. All right, on this letter of intent day, we're going to go out to Perry High School now. Brock Purdy is about to speak. This is one of his teammates at the podium, but this is the announcement that everyone has been waiting for. The quarterback at Perry High, national attention, New York Times, here locally, Texas A&M or Iowa State. This is live, courtesy of our friends at Perry Primetime Sports.
I hate y'all. No, for real, I just want to say thank you guys for supporting me and taking me through this journey, and I'm very happy. Thank you.
So I'd like to start off by expressing my gratitude towards all my friends, my teammates, my coaches, and my parents. Without them, none of this would be possible. I'd like to thank my coaches, especially for pushing me to my limits and making me achieve my potential, and my parents for supporting me financially and emotionally and letting me go to all the camps I went to and all that. So it's truly a blessing to be here. Thank you, guys.
First, I'd like to thank, of course, my parents for just supporting me just through everything, through the last 4 years, through the last 17 years, of course. I'm super thankful for everything you've done for me. Of course, I have to thank my coaches, Coach Pomeranz, Coach Tolman, Coach Rubin, Coach Bader, for getting me through this process. I've had an incredible time working with all of you. I'd also like to thank Coach Schirmeyer and Coach Boone for pushing me as hard as I can every single day. And of course, I'd like to support, thank you to all my teammates back there for pushing me and making me the player that I am today and also the person I am today. So thank you guys.
Where y'all think Brock going though?
Here's Brock Purdy.
First of all, I want to congratulate all my fellow classmates. It's awesome. I'm going to play at the next level, the opportunity and everything. So thank you guys for, all your support. And, it's an honor being up here with every single one of you guys. First of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, none of this is possible. I'm a man of faith. Everything I do is for him and his glory. And wherever I go, I'm going to use my platform for him. And I live for him in everything that I do. I want to thank my family, my dad, my mom. I love you guys so much. Just thank you for everything. What you guys don't see, like in closed doors and things like that, they're just so supportive, and they love myself, my brother, my sister. I love you guys so much. Chubba, dude, take over, man. I love you. I seriously do. I love you, man. Without you, I'm not here. Whitney, I know you're in South Carolina. I hope you're watching. I love you. God bless you, and I'll see you soon. And Grandma and Grandpa, thank you for everything. Flying out Friday nights and seeing every single game as much as possible. I love you guys so much. You're a rock in my foundation. I love you guys. Just my friends, family, friends, everybody. You guys know who you are. My boys, come over, hang out, playing video games, throwing, running routes in the off season. What you guys see Friday nights doesn't just come easy, man. There's so much work put into it. And so I thank you guys for taking your time to help me get better. Our family, friends, Patchets, love you guys so much. During the season, go over, take naps before practice and getting after it. I love you guys so much, and God bless you. Medinas, Furmans, Holdridges, Hatches, Schwenkies, Fords, everybody. Love you guys so much. Thank you for being my family. You guys are always there for me, and I love you guys so much. Coaches, Coach Jones, thank you for your discipline, the life lessons, everything. I love you so much. I'm so thankful and blessed that you're in my life. Just thank you for everything. Coach Axman, thank you for everything. Coach Schirmeyer, thank you for everything, man. I love you so much. Coach Clatterbuck, Coach Klecka, Coach Rogers, Coach DeGangi, Coach Scott, Coach Snyder, Coach Harder, Coach Barty, Coach Bailey, thank you guys so much. You guys don't get enough credit, as you should. Love you guys, and I have an amazing relationship personally with every single one of you guys, and we all know that, so thank you guys. Coach Budson, he's not here. He's our freshman coach, and he got this ball rolling at Perry, man. Not a lot of people know about him, but without him, I don't think really we're at where we are, football wise and stuff. But you know, Coach Butson is amazing. Thank you, Coach, wherever you are. Coach Boone, thank you for pushing all of us in the weight room. You know, getting stronger, faster. Appreciate everything that you do. So thank you very much, and God bless you. My youth coaches, Coach Bear, I know you're out here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for, you know, teaching me life lessons at a young age. God bless you and your family and everything that you do from here on out. Coach Dobbs, Coach Gardner, wherever you guys are, God bless you. Thank you for everything. My teammates, sorry off my O-line, you know, without them, none of this is possible. So thank you guys for everything. I love you guys so much. Receivers making plays, tight ends, running backs. I mean, the list goes on and on. Defense making stops. It's just amazing. So I thank you guys, really, from the bottom of my heart. Faculty, teachers, security guards, lunch ladies, everybody. I love you guys. Thank you for all that you do in the community here at Perry, what you guys do for the school. You guys don't get enough recognition as you should. So thank you guys for everything, and God bless you guys. And last but not least, student body, classmates, Puma Nation, I gave everything for you guys on the field. I put my heart and soul, try to impress you guys every Friday night. Wherever I go, you guys go with me. So I love you guys. I also want to thank the state of Arizona, all the support, you know, when I'm not getting looks and things like that from colleges and stuff like that. You guys have been so supportive, and, you know, this is a beautiful state, and it's just going to keep growing and being prosperous and everything that you guys do. So thank you guys, whole state of Arizona. Appreciate it. So I'm thankful for all the coaches who have given me the opportunity to play at their program. You know, all the past month has been crazy, making a decision and things like that. So I'm very thankful. My family and I have thought hard about everything, and so my heart is in one place, and the place that I'm going, you know, it's from the bottom of my heart. I know it's the right place. There's a vision to win conference championships, to win national championships. I'm going to do whatever it takes, lead those men, and, you know, reach some goals, and at the same time, you know, be glorifying my Lord and Savior through all of it. And for the next 4 years of my career, I'll be continuing my academic and athletic career at Iowa State University.
So Brock Purdy is going to go to Iowa State, and a very, very hard decision for him to make, and one that, quite frankly, I sat with him last night at dinner, and that speech that he has in his hand, he went through it, and he got choked up doing that. And it's really, really interesting to see this journey and his family that you see there, and his father and his mother. So there is the Brock Purdy part of it. That leaves one player left that has yet to make his announcement, and that is Solomon Enos from North Canyon High School. Solomon Enos is going to meet with Jordan Hamm here shortly. He will make his announcement at 11:15, and we will have that up on the site as well. It's very nice of these players to trust us with their commitments, and then we will put them up on the site for you. Jason Jewell is going to join us in about 5-6 minutes to break down all of this. Outside of Solomon Enos, because that's Solomon's day, not ours. Some other things going on in sports. You know, on the letter of intent day stuff, so if we were to look at just what's going on this year in state, Eric was over at Zidane Thomas this morning, a running back at Centennial. His teammate Dominic Hampton is going to Washington. Guys, if we're talking college football here, which we love doing, we love it. Dominic Hampton should not be getting out of this state. He should not be getting to Washington. Melo Mele, an offensive lineman at Sal Point, should not be going to Washington. If there's a program that has come in here into the state, Eric, if we were to talk about the top 10 high school players in the state this year, And we were to go through the whole idea of the previous coaches at Arizona and Arizona State, which used the term closing the borders, sealing things off. How would we say they did this year in sealing the borders and keeping kids in state?
I would say somewhere between an F and an incomplete, because both schools did, switch coaches.
They switched coaches. So here, I agree with you on this. The only in-state player I can think of as a top 10 kid is Jamari Joyner at Cienega, who's going to U of A. And that's it.
And his recruitment was
goofy.
Wild.
Yeah. If you're going to commit to somebody and you sign the paperwork on December 20th, don't take visits and hold other schools out to dry. Things we see in recruiting. Crazy.
You talk about the University of Washington, and that stems back to when Chris Peterson was at Boise State. And a lot of the staff at Boise State followed him to Washington, so he still has a lot of those ties down here in the Valley. And I guess from what Coach Taylor over at Centennial was telling me today at the press conference, Colorado was calling Dom Hampton or coming down to visit at least once or twice a week trying to flip him from the University of Washington.
Hmm.
And it's interesting that the in-state schools kind of maybe gave it the old college try, but you've got schools like Colorado that were sending coaches down or calling every week trying to sway his decision. And his dad later told me that it was always Washington, and there was never any doubt.
Well, I mean, you look at what Washington is doing. Today they get Jacob Eason, who transfers in from Georgia.
Big time quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, so
big time quarterback.
So Jake Browning's going to leave, and they're going to be fine.
I don't know what that's going to do for Daniel Bridgegad, the former Paradise Valley quarterback, who is one of the people in the quarterbacking room up at Washington.
That's
a good point.
No, that's a good point. But they also flipped the top defensive tackle from USC to them. And so they have a five-star linebacker that's coming in. Washington has turned this deal into a juggernaut up there. And they're better than USC now. You look at where Stanford is. Stanford can recruit a different type of player. You look at where Washington is. And this all gets back to Arizona and Arizona State. I mean, I get it, guys. You want the pitchfork, and you wanted to talk about Wilbur, and you ASU hates U of A, and U of A hates ASU. But I would kind of like to see it be, hey, it's going to be a top 10 season, not just this year, but for the next 15 years. And you look around, and there's just not that many programs. And you have to ask yourself, why? Now, is Ray Anderson have vision? Those of you that are not on the Herm Edwards train, and there's not many of you that are on it. Today, you're going to hear ASU this afternoon talk about bringing some players in. I don't know if they're bringing in, it was a special teams kid from Saguaro, Eric, I think I saw that.
I believe a snapper.
Yeah,
I think that was one of the only local kids that's committed to ASU.
So, but that happens. The people on that side of the street will say, well, it's a new staff, and whenever a new staff comes in, you get behind in recruiting. Okay, I'll buy that to an extent. But this year, they never got Brock Purdy on campus at U of A or ASU. They never got Tyler Shuck on campus at ASU or U of A. They never offered Tyler Shuck, and they never offered Brock Purdy except a preferred walk-on. Arizona State offered Brock Purdy a preferred walk-on 8 weeks ago. I don't know. In 8 weeks' time, he's sitting with Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. What gives? So I get frustrated when I hear this. We got to keep the local kids at home. Some kids want to get away from home, and some kids want to get out of state. And when we hear this drivel about closing the borders and all that stuff, like, and I've not heard that from Herm as of yet, and I didn't hear from Kevin. I was very tired with the previous two on closing borders, and more so with Todd than Rich. Jason Jewell is with us next. There's a couple other things I'm going to get to before the show is done today. And I'll do Jason and then get into Barry Bonds' number being retired and the Suns getting run over last night and the Josh McDaniels story. We'll get to all that after this timeout. Let's get deeper now into the recruiting side of things and get a view from Jason Jewell, the godfather of recruiting across the great state of Arizona. All right, Brock Purdy, we just had his announcement going to Iowa State. Let's get right to it, Jason. Your view, Purdy picking Iowa State over Texas A&M.
Yeah, I mean, and other offers, too. He saw Alabama, you know, obviously one of the powers in the country, and Central Florida and Boise State and all these schools coming in and offering Purdy. His recruitment was like none that I've seen in a long, long time, with how he just absolutely blew up, you know, in the last month or so, where we're talking a month ago he was going to take visits to Montana State and Northern Arizona, to now he's signing with Iowa State today. Just a fantastic kid and one of the state's best, you know, most productive players over the last 2 years. And for Iowa State to pull him over some very, you know, some heavy hitters in the SEC, good for Matt Campbell and that staff, you know, today, signing Brock.
Drayson Hall makes his news today. What'd you make out of Drayson Hall?
Well, you know, headed to Southern Utah does not surprise me. You know, I think he's a guy that, if he was a little bit bigger, he's going to have Power 5 type offers. But a good get for Southern Utah, is going to enroll after he serves his two-year LDS mission. But the job that Southern Utah continues to do in Arizona, getting Lance Lawson, Gerald Wilborn, Aaron Romero, these are just great gets by Southern Utah. And hats off to their, lead coach at recruits, Aaron Fernandez. He played at Red Mountain High School and Mesa Community College, and doing a great job recruiting his home state.
Zadane Thomas at Centennial. His was a bit of a journey, bit of an adventure. Goes to San Diego State.
Brad, if you had asked me a week ago, I would have said that I thought Zadane was going to head to junior college for a year and then, get re-recruited. You know, he's a guy that had visited Boise State and Utah and did not love the places, and goes out to Louisville, and they ask him to gray shirt, and he didn't want to do that. And then, you know, just on last Saturday, takes a last-minute visit to San Diego State, which I think is smart because look what the Aztecs have done. They've got, you know, the NCAA's all-time leading rusher 2 years ago comes out of San Diego State, Donnell Pumphrey. Then, you know, last year, Rashad Penny leads the nation in rushing.
Right.
And they're an offense that fits exactly what Zadane does. He's a in-between the tackles, power running back. And I think that he has a bright future over there in San Diego.
And there was some news today, Jason, that caught your eye away from those three. Tell me about this, the SEC coming into the Valley late.
Yeah, so, you know, a guy that really heated up at the end was Deer Valley offensive tackle Xavier Robinson Delgado. ASU, U of A had jumped into the mix before they had their coaching changes. And then Oregon State ends up offering the young man. He visits out there. Then takes a last-minute visit to the University of Missouri over the weekend, and he signed with Mizzou. So you got a guy that was not heavily recruited before the first signing period, and by the time the second one rolled around, he's now signing with an SEC program.
Before we get you out of here on this week's recruiting roundup, Washington, I'm looking at Washington as the threat to Arizona and Arizona State year in and year out now. They end up getting Melee from South Point. They end up getting Dom Hampton from Centennial. They come in here year in and year out, it feels like to me, and steal kids away. What's going on with UW and the connection to Arizona?
So it's another former Arizona high school product player that has ties to the state. It's Scott Huff, who was an offensive lineman at Horizon High School, played at Boise, was with Peterson and that staff before he got hired at UW. He continues to heavily recruit and thoroughly recruit his home state and does a fantastic job. We saw them getting Byron Murphy from Saguaro a couple years ago, Daniel Bridgegad from Paradise Valley, you know, one of the state's top quarterbacks, and now getting Mateo Mele, who I thought was the top prospect in the state, actually. That was my top guy. You know, they land him out of South Point, and then Dominic Hampton, a huge, big-time corner over at Centennial. Two big-time players that get basically stolen out of the backyard from ASU and U of A. Two very good football players.
Good stuff, Jason. We'll talk next week. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad.
There's Jason Jewell with us via Skype. A couple other things here. We have Talk to the Lopes coming up momentarily. Talk to the Lopes today is going to be good. And it's not that it's not good every week, but Ann Pearson's going to be with us. She's the longtime softball coach at GCU. They have a new stadium that is second to none. They're playing 10 schools that are, we were in the tournament last year. And they start tomorrow night with a doubleheader, so I'm excited for that. That's coming up here in a couple of minutes. Suns game last night, I lasted, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, something like that. Longer than the Suns did. They got blown out again. But at least they're heading in the right direction. They lose big to the Lakers, 112-93. They have the Spurs tonight, so they'll have back-to-back losses. This is the time of year where you have to start looking at the positives. The positives are they continue to lose and stack up losses so that they can get the high pick in the draft. Please get DeAndre Ayton out of this. Please do not try to figure out ways to win games and so you're stuck with the 8th pick in the draft or the 10th pick in the draft. If you're going to stink, Please learn how to do it, because you haven't done it quite well enough the last few years. You can keep telling me you're adding nice pieces, but when you find ways to win 24, 20, just lose. Go lose 15, 20 in a row. I don't care. I just don't want to see you keep winning anything at this point. Porzingis tore his ACL last night. Man, that's a tough one. It's tough whenever a star player gets hurt. I love Kristaps Porzingis. I love watching him play. So I'm not happy about that at all. On the football side, Josh McDaniels stays with the Patriots, and Josh McDaniels gets beat up. I don't know. Josh McDaniels is in a good situation in New England, and maybe the ownership group at Indianapolis isn't quite where he wants it to be. I have no problem with a guy saying, I'm going to stay with New England. I think all the hate towards him today is it's because it's New England. And Barry Bonds is going to have his number 25 retired by the Giants. The Baseball Hall of Fame does not want Barry Bonds in, at least yet. But the Giants are saying, you know what? Read between the lines, man. We want you. We're taking care of you. It's been a while. So August 11th, when the Pirates, go figure, makes a lot of sense. And I have no problem with this either. It's the Giants. He was a great player for them. You can talk all you want, and I'm fine with this. Those that are never wanting him in the Hall of Fame. But I don't have any issue at all with a team saying he was part of us. It wasn't like he wasn't out there. And so they're going to put him in, and it's going to be a big controversy, and people are going to bang away on the drum that Barry Bonds was a cheater. He did show up every day, and he did put on the uniform every day. If the team wants to honor him, the team can honor him. This is not one that I'm going to get too riled up about. I'm not going to waste time on it. And tomorrow, this is a big start to the weekend for Arizona State and Arizona. We'll get into it tomorrow. UCLA and USC only play the Sun Devils and Wildcats in basketball once. So the Sun Devils and U of A do not travel over to L.A. this year. The L.A. schools are here starting tomorrow night. USC is in Tempe, and UCLA is down in Tucson. Talk to the Lopes is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every Wednesday, we talk Grand Canyon University athletics. If you go to gculopes.com, I'm going to give Paul Coro and his team a plug here. They've created this really cool graphic on the softball page of opening day. They actually have a countdown to first pitch on gclopes.com for the softball team and Pearson squad taking on Montana. And not only is it one game, it's two games in their stadium that is now into phase two. We have not had Ann on Talk to the Lopes as of yet, but it is time now to bring on the coach to talk about the opening of the softball season. They're going to be really good. They were picked to win the conference. They've got four players in preseason all conference. So the bottom line is you're just going to roll the ball out there and get out of the way, right, Coach?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to give them the lineup and then just feed them snacks and stay out of the way.
Gummy bears, orange juices, you know, little juice
exactly,
boxes.
Exactly. Yep.
Good to hear your voice, Ann. It sounds like you've got so much momentum with the stadium now having been finished up through phase two. Let's just start with that. What does this stadium mean for your program?
Well, you know, I mean, I could go on and take up your whole show about this stadium. So it's beautiful, and we are so fortunate that President Mueller and the administration has given us this opportunity to play in a new facility. Like you said, it was in two phases. We got to play on the new field last year, and so everything, the dugouts were new, the cages, the bullpens, and then, of course, the playing surface. And so phase two this year was the new press box and the restrooms and concession stand. There's 450 chairbacks, purple chairbacks, and then there's bleacher sitting above the dugouts as well. So when it's all said and done, it's going to be about 1,100 seats for the fans. And it's just, I mean, it's so nice to look at, but then when you're actually up there, you know, of course, we've had to go up there during the construction and everything and check it all out. And it's so comfortable. Mm-hmm. Every seat is a good seat. Nothing is blocked. You can see everything. And we're just really hoping, you know, we've been able to draw well over the years. But because our seating was limited, you know, people would come to the games and then they turn around and leave because there was just no place to sit. So that's what we're looking at, and it's just we're just so grateful. And this is throughout the 15 years of the program. You know, this is all the alumni that have played here, that have been successful on the field, been successful in the classroom, certainly a part of the community and the campus involvement and stuff. So for me, it's a tribute to them as well as the current team and then certainly the future student-athletes we're going to have here.
That's good stuff. And again, the opening games are tomorrow on Thursday night, a doubleheader with Montana. From a facility standpoint, this is one of those obvious questions, but maybe you have a different spin on it. Does it make it easier for you to convince a player to come to GCU just based off of facilities?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because they, you know, anything that, you know, I'm sorry, has the curb appeal. It looks nice.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And then they get down there, and we've got one of the best grounds crews around. Santiago and Jorge and Gilberto take such good care of us, take care of our field. Certainly game ops and facilities. You know, we have so many people that are pouring their time and their expertise into taking care of our facility. And then you bring these recruits in. And it's been fun over the last couple of years. You bring them out, and they see the construction, and they get excited about it because it's progress and they're
sure.
Thinking about the future, and you bring these kids into this, especially, you know, even just at practice, and they're looking around going, oh my gosh, this is so cool, and they want to play in a great facility, they want to play in front of, you know, a lot of fans, they want it to be comfortable for their friends and family to come and be able to see them play. So having a facility like this is a big factor in the recruiting game.
And from this standpoint, too, not only do you have the curb appeals, you so well put it, with the look of the facility, and you went out and scheduled 10 teams that were in the NCAAs last year. Who taught you scheduling here? There's no layups along the way, right? So not only can you come here and play, but you're going to play against the best. I mean, that's really strong.
Yeah, and you know, and that's honestly, we've been doing that since the Division I transition. You know, we had tough opponents the first year, and we were able to kind of rely on relationships with coaches. You know, just during my coaching career, to allow us to come to their place and play against them. You know, when we went down to Arizona, when we went to the UCLA tournament, you know, we got to play Alabama, we played Oregon State, we got to go to Berkeley, got to go to Utah, you know. So they were great with our new transitional team, and then you know, we've been holding our own through the years, so it's been good, and we're able to schedule some of these high power teams. And honestly, our kids want to come to GCU; they want to be a part of this university and be a part of the campus and just the feel of everything that we have going on here. But they want to play against the big teams, and so this gives them the best of both worlds. And we're learning a lot. You know, we learn a lot when we play against, well, every team, but certainly these Power Five teams, and it's exciting because you're watching these teams, you know, on ESPN, however many years, you know, certainly
right.
The last four, and for me, then some, and now they're getting to get on the same field with them, so it's a pretty cool experience.
On the field, so you have four players that are preseason All Conference, and I get it. There's always a connection to get kids to come to programs, but when I look up and down your roster and I see a couple by the same last name from Waddell that are part of the All-Conference, it's like, how do you find softball kids at Waddell? But I'm sure it's through club and all that, but the average fan may not know, or those that are just coming into the cycle with their daughters. I had two daughters that did club softball, on where you do get discovered and how you go about building a roster, if you could talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Well, and I love the Arizona kids. I mean, you can look at the rosters, you know, of the last 15 years, and you're going to find the majority of Arizona kids. And you know, we can win with the Arizona kids, so why would you leave? You know,
right.
they get to stay home, live on campus, their families get to see them, so that's a really big deal there. But, you know, I mean, we see them obviously a lot in club ball because, you know, their season, they play so many games in the fall and then certainly in the summertime. But I've had kids also that I've found, I love watching high school softball. I love watching it. It's difficult because obviously our seasons run at the same time. But I have actually gone to watch kids during high school, and then I see other kids that I like. And so I've actually pulled kids out of the high school season as well. So I would definitely say more from travel ball just because we see more games and the time of the year. But, you know, again, it's always a possibility to see see kids out of high school. And the twins that you're talking about, Shay and Sierra, did see them in travel ball. I didn't even know where Waddell was. And so I'm an East Valley family. So, we found them out of the Firecracker organization and saw them early. And, and obviously the rest is history. I'm trying to figure out how I could get 4 more years of eligibility to keep those two around for a while. So, just great athletes, both sides of the ball, just great athletes.
Before we part ways, anything else you want to add about the coming season that maybe you have questions about or that you really like about this team?
Well, I like my girls. I mean, I really like them on and off the field. And I think they're a talented group. I think they are a high-achieving group, and they'll continue to be high achievers after they graduate from GCU. They're very academic. They're very much involved in the campus. They're very involved in community service, and I'm proud of the people that they are. And then it helps that they're talented athletes as well. So they work hard, they're coachable, they get along great. We've got a great culture in our program, I'm really hoping and expecting for good things out of the season, and I'm hoping that we're going to get some fans out there to fill up this new stadium and get a chance to see what the campus is about and get a chance to see what the program's about.
Good to hear your voice. Best of luck this season. Get it done. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
There is Ann Pearson with us, the softball coach at Grand Canyon University. Every week, Talk to the Lopes, our partnership with GCU. Very much enjoy it, talking to the coaches all season long from all the sports and players, too, on campus. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Susmat.